The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Today is day one for classes at Herbert W. Armstrong College. Actually, orientation will be going on today and tomorrow as we get into the 15th school year of AC, established back in 2001. A very small beginning at that, there on those open fields in North Edmond, Oklahoma. Beginning the school year with just 8 students, and now 15 years on from that, we have a small contingent of students over here in the UK working at Edstone, tuning into their classes online, and also having a live hookup in several cases. In fact, today with the orientation, we'll be bringing in the live connection for a few lectures and also taking one back from here. For those new freshmen that are arriving at AC or that have arrived here in the last week or two, I'll talk more in the second segment on this subject of education. Last week, by the way, we our most popular program, What Happens When a Teacher from China Takes Over a British Schoolroom. We had over 1,000 people listen to that one, at least, perhaps more. In any event, it played last Monday. And you can go and listen to that if you haven't already and see it at thetrumpet.com or at our SoundCloud page and through the kpcg.fm site as well. There's many different ways to listen to those again. But we'll spend more time on this subject of education, specifically what's wrong with modern education today and why AC is so different from any other college, from any other educational institution in this world. It's been around for 15 years, but its historical legacy, I mean, it goes way back to the days of Herbert W. Armstrong back in the late 1940s when he established Ambassador College, and that had even a smaller start than what we had in 2001, just 4 students there in that first school year. So stay tuned for the second segment as we'll spend more time on this subject. Well, over the weekend here in the UK, our program on the UK stations, it generated 114 total requests for the booklet, How to Be an Overcomer. The subject of the program was on ruling your own spirit. And so 114 people have followed on and requested the book. And just to update you on the previous week, I mentioned the 174, I think it was, that came in. We had a few more requests trickle in as the week went by. All totaled for that repeat that we ran, Is There a Real Spirit World? There were 181 requests, making that program the third, and that was a repeat, mind you. It became the third highest response that we've had to this point. It also bumps up our Mystery of the Ages request to 784 for the year as we push toward our goal of 2,000 Mystery of the Ages books being mailed out to those responding to the Key of David UK version. So we're excited about meeting that goal, and we're, of course, running out of time as well. So we'll keep you posted on any developments there. I just thought I'd mention a few other things, or one last thing, actually. With respect to the program, the new Russia-China alliance that we ran over here a few weeks ago, it actually had a fairly low response in terms of phone calls and text messages and such. But if you've looked at that video on the YouTube channel, it's up to over 190,000 views right now. So I know the marketing department back in Edmond is doing quite a lot of work in putting that one out there in particular, as it just seems to be generating quite a large response online. Well, I'd like to refer to this article. It was in the Telegraph just yesterday. Doomsday clock for global market crash. strikes 1 minute to midnight as central banks lose control. I want to get to that in just a second, but before I do, I want to refer you back to what Mr. Tim Thompson wrote in the Trumpet magazine many years ago. You'll recall last week, if you were listening in, that I referred back to some of the things he said as far back as 20 years ago. And following on that program from Friday, just in skimming through some of the archives for the Trumpet magazine, these articles popped out. Bankruptcy of America. Tim Thompson wrote about that back in December of 1995, 20 years ago. This also from that time period, 1998, the financial destruction of America. He was talking about it or writing about it often, as I mentioned on Friday's program. And then this one, the snare of debt. He wrote about the snare of debt in March of 2000, the March 2000 Philadelphia Trumpet. And in that article, he was telling the reader to prepare yourself for what's coming. This bankruptcy, this financial destruction. In that 2000 article, he quoted from a book, Debt and Delusion. This is what it said at the conclusion of that book. The story of the Western financial system since the early 1970s is one of debt addiction. It says, in the Anglo-Saxon countries, access to affordable forms of borrowing has risen exponentially. The unpreparedness, it says later, of the Western world can be understood only in terms of ignorance. Most of those under 50 years of age hold only a small proportion of their assets in the form of cash and deposits. They do not appreciate how fragile the financial system has become, nor how easily the investment gains of many years could be forfeited. One day the mist will clear, and the collective delusion of effortless wealth creation will be shattered. Until that day, we are living on borrowed time. We're living on borrowed time. He says, finally, prepare for an explosion that will rock the Western financial system to its foundations. That's what we've been preparing you for. Quoting from that book, Debt and Delusion. For the last many years, we have been living on borrowed time. And now you look at some of these other articles, like that one I just mentioned from the Daily Telegraph, and you see just how fragile the current financial system is. You see how that it's just barely hanging by a thread. Well, we and just a few others were talking about it back in the mid-1990s, urging you to get out of debt, to get your financial affairs in order, warning you about what it says in 1 Timothy 6 and elsewhere, about how that greed and selfishness and every kind of wrong financial dealing, that it would be like a snare just waiting to snap shut on us. Luke 21, over there, Jesus talked about that day of Christ's coming upon most in this earth, unexpectedly. We've got to be prepared for it. Well, if you look at that now most recent article, as I said on Friday, I can only imagine how Mr. Thompson would be writing about this today if he was still with us. This article from the Telegraph, Doomsday Clock for Global Market Crash, strikes 1 minute to midnight as central banks lose control. That's what you see as you look around the world. You don't have to be a chief economist to see it. That the world is out of control. The global economy is out of control. It's just living on borrowed time. This article says, when the banking crisis crippled global markets 7 years ago, central bankers stepped in as lenders of last resort. Profligate private sector loans were moved on to the public sector balance sheet, and vast money printing gave the global economy room to heal. Now just think about that as it was happening. These big banks moving in, all this vast money printing. Did you really think that that would somehow sustain us? Did you really think that that would somehow get things to level off and then we'd have smooth sailing from here on out? How long can you sustain that sort of solution, quote unquote? Massive amounts of money printing, of all things. Nothing backing it up. Nothing of value. Just cheap paper, that's it. The Telegraph says, time is now rapidly running out. Time is running out. That's not Tim Thompson. That's the Telegraph in London. From China to Brazil, the central banks have lost control. And at the same time, the global economy is grinding to a halt. It's only a matter of time before stock markets collapse under the weight of their lofty expectations and record valuations. It's only a matter of time, very similar to that book that Mr. Thompson quoted from back in 2000, Living on Borrowed Time. This Telegraph piece then goes on to point out 8 dangerous trends. These are the danger points. The China slowdown, which we talked about on Friday's program. Number 1, the China slowdown. It says China was the great savior of the world economy in 2008. The launching of an unprecedented stimulus package sparked an infrastructure investment boom. The voracious demand for commodities to fuel its construction boom dragged along oil and resource-rich emerging markets. But the Chinese economy has now hit a brick wall. Economic growth has dipped below 7% for the first time in a quarter of a century. That probably means the real economy is far weaker. We went into that, as I say, on Friday, just comparing even the size of China's economy to that of Greece. As significant as both of these stories are, but just because of the massive size of the Chinese economy, the impact that this is having on the entire world, it's significant. The second danger sign, according to the Telegraph, the commodity collapse. It says the China slowdown has sent shockwaves through commodity markets. The Bloomberg Global Commodity Index, which tracks the prices of 22 commodity prices, fell to levels last seen at the beginning of this century. So you have oil hovering around multi-year lows at around $50 per barrel. Iron ore, this article brings out, which is the raw material needed to feed China's steel mills. It's fallen to about $56 per ton, which is less than half what it was a year and a half ago, just in the last year and a half. This third danger sign in this article from the Telegraph, resource sector credit crisis. It says billions of dollars in loans were raised on global capital markets to fund new mines and oil exploration. That was only ever profitable at previous elevated prices, but with oil and metal prices collapsing, many of these projects are now loss-making. The loans raised to back the projects are now underwater, and investors may never see any returns. That's another danger sign. The fourth one on this list, or in this article, dominoes beginning to fall. Yes, you can look around the world. You can examine all these sectors and see that the dominoes are starting to fall. The great props to the world economy are beginning to fall, it says. China's going into reverse. And the emerging markets that consume so many of our products are crippled by currency devaluation. The famed BRICS of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, to whom the West was supposed to pass on the torch of economic growth, are in varying states of disarray. The central banks are rapidly losing control. The Chinese stock market has already crashed, and disaster was only averted by the government buying billions of shares. It talks more about Greece, some of the things in Europe. It says earlier this year, investors flocked to the safe haven currency of the Swiss franc. But as 1.1 trillion euro quantitative easing program devalued the euro, the Swiss central bank was forced to abandon its four-year peg to the euro. And on it goes. The fifth point of concern, credit markets roll over, it says. This is the Daily Telegraph from yesterday. It writes, as central banks run out of silver bullets, then credit markets are desperately seeking to reprice risk. The London Interbank Offered Rate, a guide to how worried UK banks are about lending to each other, has been steadily rising during the past 12 months. Banks are worried. Banks are concerned. The sixth point on this list, the interest rate shock. You know about how low those are right now. Again, to just keep the economy afloat. But you can't keep it down there near zero forever. And so what will happen when those rates begin to go up? Everyone's waiting on the United States to start first. And with everything happening in China, they'll probably put it off a little bit longer. But when it goes up, the impact that that's going to have right across the board. And then there's the stock market. The seventh point on this list in the Telegraph, the UK stock market. It's in its 77th month of a bull market, going back or dating back to March 2009. The Telegraph says, on only two other occasions in history has the market risen for longer. One is the lead-up to the Great Crash in 1929, and the other before the bursting of the dot-com bubble in the early 2000s. Can you see the warning signs? Can you see the handwriting on the wall? Only two other times in history where there's been this big of a stock market boom in the UK. Just before the Great Crash of 1929 and just before the dot-com bubble of the early 2000s. And then the last point on this list, the overvalued U.S. market. Same thing, overvalued. When will the bubble burst? You could have added 8, 10, 15, 20 more points to this list. Signs that the economy is about to collapse. The U.S. fiscal gap, as we covered on Friday, it currently stands at $210 trillion. That's the real debt that the United States, the federal government, is carrying. Is there hope for man to bring us out of this mess that we're in? Well, you just look at the most recent crisis from 2008. And as that article I just read to you covered, the way that we went about trying to pull out of that pit, printing off all kinds of money, paper money, worthless money, extending the borrowing limits. What will be the solution the next time? Jeremiah 17 and verse 5 says, cursed be the man that trusts in man. In other words, there's no hope in man. Now, there is hope. There is hope. And Mr. Thompson covered that in all three of those articles I mentioned earlier. And he even gave strong counsel and advice to you, the listener or the reader in that case, of what you can do, of how you can turn it around, of how you can be protected, of how you can be spared. There is hope, but it's not in man. That's what the scriptures reveal in that passage in Jeremiah 17. You continue reading beyond verse 5 and you can see why there's no hope in man. It's because the heart is deceitful above all things, the Bible says. It's desperately wicked. It looks out for itself. It looks out for its own. Nations are trying to do what's best for their people, their nation. Individuals are doing the same thing. And the economy is crumbling. and the danger signs are everywhere. Time is rapidly running out. The doomsday clock for the global market crash strikes 1 minute to midnight. Central banks have lost control. All of this, of course, is pointing to what Herbert Armstrong said back in 1984. I read this to you on Friday. He said then that he could see now what it was that would really trigger the formation of this European combine, this 10-nation consortium coming out of the heart of Europe. He said he could begin to see back in 1984 that the event that would trigger it would be the global economic crisis. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily radio show. This is on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma. Of course, the live stream's available all around the world for those who have internet access. You can listen to the stream at kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Well, although the news is going to be good in the world tomorrow, do you know why today's news is nearly all bad? Now, this is shocking, but it's true. There's something criminally wrong with today's prevalent system of education, and that, plus human nature, is the one reason why we're having such bad news today. Yes, I mean even in the grades in high school and colleges and universities, there is something criminally wrong with today's education. In many instances, children in the grades are not even taught to read, believe it or not. But I mean something far more serious than that. Sure, young people in high school and college are being taught certain vocations and professions. Young men and young women are being taught about material and physical things. They're being given certain social and cultural training. They're being prepared to earn a living, at least many of them are. But listen, my friends, they are not being taught how to live. Today, these people taught in technical schools and universities, specializing in science and technologies, are developing undreamed of powers. They're harnessing the forces of nature. They're producing powers of destruction faster than they're developing in character to know how to guide these colossal powers into safe and peaceful directions.
That's Herbert W. Armstrong from his old radio program back in the 1950s and 60s, the World Tomorrow radio program. He brings out lots of things there in that snippet, things that we've touched on in recent programs. Think of the program on Hiroshima and the destruction of one single bomb. Here are human beings. I mean, that was made by human beings specializing in science and technologies, as Mr. Armstrong said there, developing undreamed powers. But where has there been a corresponding development? In character. In God's character. In how to live, in how to pursue peace. Well, it gets back to education. He said there, education, of course, plus human nature. You can't discount that nature in man, which I mentioned in the first segment from Jeremiah 17, how that the human heart or mind is deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked. The God of this world, Satan the devil, he broadcasts, it says in Ephesians 2 and verse 2, he broadcasts in moods, in attitudes. That's why there's a forceful downward pull against our nature, one that we have to resist against with God's help. And why we need to look into the Bible for instruction, for direction. Mr. Armstrong wrote back in 1965 in The Plain Truth, he said, the future welfare and even the existence of civilization is dependent on the educational system. The future welfare, even the existence of civilization, it depends on education. And so what happens when education, modern education, descends into just this radical individualism, gross materialism? You may have heard at the top of the hour there with the headlines, all of these British school children who are confused about their identity, experimenting with their sexuality. Let's look at Hosea chapter 4. Get your Bible and read along with me. And we'll look at what some of the big problems are with modern education today. And along the way, we'll point out why at Armstrong College for these past 15 years, why it's so different. It's because what those students are taught at AC, it concentrates on how they go about living their lives. The focus isn't primarily on how to make a living, although they certainly pick up a lot of skills along the way in class and in the work-study program, helping produce programs such as this, the Trumpet magazine, our websites, TV programs. But the focus of the education is on how to live. How do you go out from this college experience and build a proper marriage, a loving marriage? How do you prepare for having children? How do you train up a child in the way that he should go, as it says in the Proverbs? How do you serve as a benefit to society, to your congregation, to your nation? This is what matters most. Think of the many people that go out today and that experience some kind of financial success in the job world, but that just have a disastrous life when you look at their family, their marriage, the problems they've run into. Why is that? Hosea 4 and verse 1, it says, hear the word of the Eternal, you children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. See, God has a controversy with our peoples because there's no truth in the land. Our children are confused. They're out experimenting with all kinds of improper, immoral, evil behavior because parents are too busy. They're not interested in training up the children in the way that they should go. They've got other things to attend to. There's no truth, no knowledge of God in the land. That's the reason why the world is the way it is today. There's no longer any truth. Verse 2, it says, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Well, we certainly see lots of this kind of thing in the land today. All kinds of evil, all kinds of sin, ignorance. The world, just like the economy, as I spoke about in segment 1, the world is hanging by a thread. The world is dying, in other words. This world is gasping for its last few breaths. Notice verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. And you shall be no priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the law of God. I will also forget your children. We've talked so much in recent programs about the great paradox of our day, this awesome amount of knowledge that man has produced over the past century, a knowledge explosion, in fact. But our problems have multiplied along with it. The knowledge being disseminated in colleges and universities today, it has not solved the problems of this world. Our problems are getting worse. Mr. Armstrong said back in 1970, this was from a Plain Truth article, all of this knowledge, yet virtually no happiness, just accelerating troubles, problems, evils. It's like being stranded on a raft in mid-ocean. Water everywhere, he said, but not a drop to drink. All of this knowledge, and yet look at the accelerating troubles, problems, evils. Well, the reason man is dying of thirst, to use that analogy Mr. Armstrong made there, is because of the right knowledge, the truth that's missing. There's no truth in the land. Verse 9, it says, "And there shall be like people, like priest, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings." The meaning there, where it says like people, like priest, it's just talking about how that the priests or the leaders or the teachers in society, that they're just like the people. They're just like the students. They're just like the disciples. There's really no difference when you look at students and teachers today. This is Isaiah 3 being fulfilled. I read to you from Melanie Phillips' piece last Monday, that program about the Chinese school teacher that came into the British school. And Phillips says, toward the end of her column, she said, "For the past half century, the education orthodoxy has held that what is innate in every child is more valuable than anything the teacher can provide. Transmitting knowledge, the very essence of teaching, was thus damned as fettering a child's creativity." See, no difference between teacher and student. The teacher doesn't really have anything to pass along. What's important here is to cultivate that innate goodness in every child. Look at the ignorance. Look at how far removed that is from Jeremiah 17, Ephesians 2 and verse 2, Romans 8 and verse 7. Look at Galatians 6. Over here in the New Testament, this is the Apostle Paul writing. Galatians chapter 6. There's nothing about this taught in modern education. This law, as Paul discusses here in Galatians 6, he says, verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by modern education. Don't be deceived by the devil's broadcast. There is cause and effect. There is a cause for every effect. Mr. Armstrong wrote in his popular booklet, The Seven Laws of Success, "Right education," he said, "must teach that all things are a matter of cause and effect, that for every result, whether good or evil, there is a cause." You see, if it's true education, it's teaching that principle. It's teaching that law, that all things are a matter of cause and effect. For every good or evil result, there has to be a cause. Why did it happen? Verse 8, it says, "For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." See, if you compromise with God's truth in your life, there's a price to be paid. Now, human beings have come up with every imaginable Band-Aid to try to fix the problem, fix the injury, without actually addressing the cause. But with true education, it's not that way. Cause and effect is a law. God says whatever we sow, we'll eventually reap. Whatever the effect, there was an original cause, which is why God's truth, His laws, the direction He gives us in His scriptures, it's why that's so important. Because if we're going to choose right, if we're going to plant holy seeds, we've got to go to God for the instruction we need, for the education we need. Proverbs 4 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. I mean, seek godly counsel. Seek God's wisdom and knowledge. With all you're getting, with all your desire, go after understanding. This is why God richly blessed Herbert Armstrong's work, because he craved understanding, and he went to God for it. At least leading up to, and all, of course, long after his conversion, he went to God for instruction, for understanding and wisdom. The Proverbs continue, exalt her and she shall promote you. She shall bring you to honor when you do embrace her. See, it's wisdom and understanding from God that brings with it promotion, blessing, good effects. Going back to that law of cause and effect, let's look back at the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, and beginning in verse 11. Read along with me, see what your Bible has to say. Prove all things, as Paul said. Don't believe me, as Mr. Armstrong so often said on his radio program. Look into your own Bible. See for yourself what God says about education, about what's wrong with it, about how to fix it. Isaiah 5 and 11, it says, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink and continue until night, till wine inflame them. Those who turn to addictions to escape the misery and the suffering, well, they're not going to be able to run from it. Cause and effect. You can't run from this law. You can try to escape it. You can try to numb yourself to the effects of it. But that only makes the matters worse. It only makes the problem worse. It says in verse 12, and the harp and the viol and the tabret and the pipe and the wine are in their feasts, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. This has been the lesson that's repeated itself over and over again in history. That when the people of God forget God, when they turn their back on God, it leads to destruction. Because they have no knowledge, it says there. Verse 15, a little further down, it says, and the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. When you just look at this world today, and the problems, the mounting problems, that alone, you would think would humble us, would humble our leaders more. But look at the arrogance, not just the ignorance, the arrogance of human beings so sure that they have the solution, so sure that they have it all figured out. The more educated you are in the ways of God, the more humble you become. The more you realize what you don't know. It's just the opposite from what modern education teaches you. You look into the modern educational system today, and it's just filled with vanity, self-reliance, hostility toward God and His laws. And then we wonder why the problems of this world just get worse and worse and worse. 2 Timothy 3, we've read that so many times on this program. Verse 20, it says, "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." See, woe unto them that turn things upside down. Woe unto them that look at evil and they call it good. They say, well, we've progressed. We've got to accept it. This is the new normal. And so all the standards of righteousness are just thrown out the window. But God says, look, woe unto them that do this. Look at what Jesus said. I mean, He came into this world and He told His disciples, they hate Me. And why did they hate Jesus Christ? They hated Him because He testified that the works of men are evil. That was His assessment of human civilization. And what did men do in response? How did they respond to His message? It says in verse 21, staying here in Isaiah 5, "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them who are filled with vanity. Woe unto them who are wise in their own eyes. Woe unto them who worship and exalt self, who worship and exalt human nature, who love to do evil and call it good." Satan's done a real number on modern education, convincing our most educated teachers, teaching the elites of society, that the nature in man is good. He's convinced them that human nature, the nature in man, is a good thing. And God says it's evil through and through. It needs to be repented of, that way of the flesh, that hostility toward God and His law. Verse 22, "Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff. So their root shall be as rottenness and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." See, human nature has got it exactly backwards. Human beings today look upon law as the problem. God's law is the burden, and you see this spirit. It's so strong that there are those in Britain and the United States that see the laws of the land as burdensome, as a curse, as part of the problem. And so our nations become more and more lawless. Let's look at Isaiah 29 in conclusion, staying here in the prophet Isaiah's book. Chapter 29 and verse 15, Isaiah 29 and verse 15, it says, "Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, 'Who sees us? Who knows us? Surely your turning of the things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, 'He made me not'? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, 'He has no understanding'? Well, it's ridiculous to think of the pot turning around and telling the potter which end is up, which way is right, which way is wrong. That's what we're doing to God, though. We're turning around and telling the potter, the one who created us, our maker, our master, our educator, our ruler, we're telling him what's right and wrong, and God is not happy. This gets to the heart. When you think of what it is that makes Armstrong College so different, what I'm talking to you about here today, it reveals why it's so different at AC, why it was so different at Ambassador College under Mr. Armstrong. It's because we go to God to make sure that we can see things right side up, because the world and human nature has everything backwards. And it takes an incredible miracle from God to see this world, to see the human heart, to see the solutions for what they really are. But God will reveal that to us if we're teachable, if we're humble. I think I have time for one more. Let me just look at this verse in Matthew 11. We can finish here. Matthew 11. Notice what Jesus said. This is the key to true education. Just to finish on this positive note here of why it's different, of why it's different at AC, of why it's not like other colleges, other universities. This is Matthew 11 and verse 25. It says, "And at that time Jesus answered and said, 'I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and prudent, and have revealed them unto babes.'" You see, we have to have a childlike attitude to receive instruction from God, to receive revelation from God, to understand the truth and the knowledge of God, to have wisdom and understanding. It takes a humble, repentant, childlike attitude, and the Spirit of God together with it, upon baptism and the laying on of hands, to have our minds opened to the truth. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial there in Edmond, Oklahoma. The live stream's available at kpcg.fm. As always, we thank you for listening today, and we'll see you again tomorrow.